Lisa Pinhorn is a holistic family interventionist who works closely with her sister, Lori Pinhorn, a holistic nutritionist and social worker. Together, they founded Feeding Futures, a family-focused program that helps parents become stress detectives in their children's lives. And there's been no shortage of anxiety so far in 2020. VOCM's Jerry Lynn Mackey chats with Lisa Pinhorn about how increased anxiety seeded by the global pandemic impacts young people and their families.
It's been an interesting time because what we've noticed is that some of the kids on our caseload have actually done pretty good in COVID because they're home. They have less stressors, less extracurricular things to do. They've really had a time of nesting a little bit. You know, their parents are more available to them. The people have been home more. So we have a group of kids who were just like, wow, they really thrived during this time. Then we have another group of people who just really have not managed things in a way that it's been very stressful for everybody, the kids and parents, and this new idea about, you know, how to homeschool or those kinds of things. So we've actually seen both, you know, like some people have really thrived and some people are still really struggling, no question. It's an interesting thing because, you know, a lot of times you think that the strong predictor of behavior is how people behave, right? But COVID has sort of turned some things upside down. And depending on how things are happening in your house, if both of your, if your parents or your adult people in your house are super stressed, and we are all super stressed, we know that neurologically emotions are contagious. And we're going to go into a lot of that at the workshop that we're teaching in a couple of weeks. And the adults really set the tone. It's like secondhand smoke in your house. You know, if parents are doing really well and they're managing their own stressors, then kids are doing well, too. If people have lost their jobs, people had difficulty finding food, you know, in the beginning of this, it was true, sometimes capital T trauma for people. And what we know is that while we're in this transition, how adults are caring for themselves is really the predictor about how children are going to manage through this and about resiliency. And people think resiliency sort of just happens, but we need a plan, right? So some children are doing really well, and some people are really just sort of feeding off this toxic level of stress that's in their homes right now. So we're seeing all of that too.
How can we sort of take the edge off that? How can we begin to address it, I guess?
We help people sort of manage all of that toxic level of stress. And let's be honest, it's not just COVID. Our generation right now, I mean, the experts call it generation stress. And we talk about toxic levels of stress for pre-COVID, like pre-existing of this sort of what I call, this is collective trauma now. It's not just traumas that happen in individual houses, right? So we were all living in really high levels of stress beforehand. Now we have a multi-layered, more stress because of COVID. So it's changed a lot of things. So people come to us because their children are not doing very well. And around week three or week four, parents kind of go, oh, I need to do some things for myself, or I need to put my self-care back on the agenda, you know, because you can't really help manage a really stressed, unwell, dysregulated child from a place of depletion yourself. You just don't have the gas in the tank to do it.
How's this going to shake out if we all have to sort of send students back to the classroom in September? Is there going to be an increased anxiety level among the students, among the parents, and even the teachers?
Well, you know, the answer is yes. That's the short answer. The long answer is, again, it's going to go back to individualness. There was a really interesting document that was published a few weeks ago from the American School Guidance Counselors Association. They've put together this really great matrix that can try to help us look at this and how this might impact our children. So what they've done is they've asked people to think about, how was school for your child last year? Was school smooth sailing? You know, did they adjust really well? Did they have great friendships? Did they do well academically? academically? Were they, you know, were they that kid that did really well? Or were they in the middle where some days were hard, some days were easy, they struggled some days, didn't other days? And then they also looked at the kids who just really did not do very well, you know, like really oppositional about going to school, not really having a whole lot of friends, academically were suffering, you know, those kinds of things, higher needs population. And what they'd say is take those three category of children and now look at what happened during COVID for them. You know, were they in a haven? Were they in a home where everything was managed really well? People managed their stress. There wasn't, you know, it was just sort of like a haven. You know, things were really taken care of. Or were they in a place where stress was sort of high and, you know, some days were good and some days were bad. Their needs were sort of met some days, not on other days. And then another group of children who really were not supported during COVID. Maybe there was violence in the home, more addiction, you know, those kinds of things. So you take those three kids and layer them over those COVID situations. And in the matrix, what happens when you come out the other end, you will see what supports those kids need. So if we're not asking children when they come in the door, in September, what happened at home while you were away during COVID? You know, was it a nice place to be? Or what do you remember about it? How do you felt about it? Was it stressful? We're not going to really know what we're going to see on the other end unless we get super curious about how they experienced their time during COVID. So you have to have a kid who was like a model doing really, really well, and then also landed in a home that was also managing stress and tension really well for that kid to be, you know, smooth sailing coming in September. Now, that would be smooth sailing coming in September if school was the same, you know, if the teacher, you were going to be able to socialize with people and eat your recess and lunch where you were supposed to, no social distancing, all that kind of stuff. So even a kid who had all their needs met prior to COVID and during COVID is going to struggle in this new setting, especially if there's limits on socialization, limits on being able to be next to people, laughing, playing, you know, all those kinds of things. And I think that we really do need to look at what COVID school is going to look like. And it's true that children need connection and back to school sort of socializations and normalness and all that kind of stuff. But going into a school setting where the bus is different, the hallway is different, maybe there's going to be teachers wearing masks, maybe there's not, maybe there's going to be strict protocols about what you can do, what you can touch. And again, like in your home, if it's your home is a stressful place, and then also your school setting is a stressful place, we're going to see ramped up stress behaviors. We just have to. That's just the human experience in stress and how we manage stress. So what we want to teach people is, how do we be the antidote to this level of stress? How do we create spaces in homes and schools that are going to acknowledge that this is going to be stressful for children? And just putting out documents saying, oh, we have health, mental health resources, they're going to be a priority, is not enough. Like, we need to consider how we are going to manage this really. It's a collective trauma. It's collective stress. I agree that it is, you know, we have, as a culture, we have episodes in our history that have been, you know, considered to be like catastrophic in stress. We've had world wars, you know, we've had 9/11, and this is another one. So just opening up the doors and saying everything is going to be fine because we have a document that talks about safety and emotional development is not enough. People need a plan. They need a, and we know, because we see it every day, that empowered parents will make a choice that is very child-focused for their house, and that's what we want people to do. We're not saying don't put your kids back in school or don't homeschool or everybody should homeschool. You got to make a choice that fits your family.
That was VOCM Morning Show co-host Jerry Lynn Mackey speaking with Lisa Pinhorn about stress levels in association with kids returning to school next month.